This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Well, Michael, we got a lot to unpack today, and we got some unfortunate news to start the show. Jonathan Cooper, arrested. We'll get into that. What does that mean for the current makeup of this roster? What, honestly, first thought that hit my mind, Michael can attest to this, is now the time to call Von Miller. We'll get into it. We don't have all the details just yet, so certainly a lot to unpack here today. Broncos continue on with OTAs. And Sean Payton had some interesting thoughts about several players, including Bo Nix and Jaylen Waddle. We'll get to that, too. Top stories of the day coming up a little bit later on. And today, during Michael and Brady review sports movies, because there's not as many things going on in the summer months, we review Varsity Blues coming up today at 1 o'clock. The whole show starts now. Kirkpatrick, you have an idea of what the show is supposed to be every day, and then you're hit with some bombshell type of news. TMZ Sports reporting that Broncos Jonathan Cooper arrested for domestic violence. He's currently in custody at a local jail. So here's what we know. He's in jail right now. He was arrested last night around 11 o'clock. It's unclear at this stage, according to TMZ, what led to the arrest, but he's being held on two counts of domestic violence as well as criminal mischief. He was booked into a detention facility at 2:38 this morning. He is scheduled to go before a judge this morning. He's got another hearing set for Monday. Again, Mike, without having a lot of details on this right now, it's the NFL. I mean, you hear about this all the time with players, and yet somehow, some way, they find their way back onto the football field.
Often, yeah, but sometimes after a suspension, depending on how bad it is.
Could be, yeah. And obviously, even if he's acquitted of charges or what have you, the NFL can still jump in and act, and they will do their own investigation on this.
Yeah, because the burden of proof for the NFL is much lower than the burden of proof for the law. So the NFL is more likely to...
Yeah, the NFL takes matters into their own hands all the time. We've seen that. What does this mean for Denver? I mean, you just have to, again, without having all the information right now in front of us, he was arrested. We know that after 11 o'clock. Not a lot of good things happen after that if you are out and about. But, yikes. This is, yesterday, listen, we got plenty of clips from OTAs that we're going to get into from Sean Payton and stuff, but it's one of those things where you can't have these kind of things, man. This is supposed to be like all hands on deck mode for the Broncos once you start OTAs. It's honestly before OTAs where you tend to stress about what guys are doing. But two counts of domestic violence as well as criminal mischief. I mean, again, that's all we have. But is there some kind of a break-in? Is there some kind of a breakup happening? Who knows? I don't want to try to get too much into information that we don't have right now. But I think it would be fair for the Broncos to be thinking this morning, what's the backup plan? What do we do here? And there has been a guy that's very vocal, probably the most vocal I've ever heard from a former player on it, or well, from a former teammate or former Bronco, former whatever guy, basically saying, I desperately want to be a Denver Bronco, and that's Von Miller. I mean, that, if that's not crossing your brain today, then you're out of your mind. Because the whole reason not to bring Von Miller in was you're stacked.
You have so much depth.
You got Jonathan Cooper, Jonah Ellis. They're going to be asking to make a big step up this year. Dondre Tillman, Johnny Walker, Q Robinson. Those are good guys, but suddenly when that depth, if Jonathan Cooper has to miss any amount of games, and if you know, whatever, we're gonna go on. The guy was arrested, so it's not like a nothing burger. I can't imagine after 11 o'clock. You have to start thinking of what that backup plan would be. Here's the question: would Sean Payton swallow his pride and bring back Von Miller? Now, when I say would Sean Payton swallow his pride, it's the same guy that cut Justin Simmons, who was a pretty good player for Denver. I don't know that he wants to bring back beloved Broncos just for the sake of, oh, he wants to be here. The fan base really loves him. I don't think Sean Payton cares about that. The question is, can Vaughn still be a productive pass rusher at his age? Even he has said, I'm not going to be a starter if I go. I'm not going to play special teams, but I would be some kind of a guy that could play multiple snaps throughout a game to give Nick Benito and Jonathan Cooper a break. The big one is going to be on Jonah Ellis, who was drafted, what? Is this, are we going into his third year already, Michael? And that's where you have to look at it. He was drafted in 2024, third round pick out of Utah. You're going to be looking at that guy, obviously, but then the question has to be asked, should you bring back Von Miller now, even just to get him in camp? And then you have a backup plan, not a starting backup plan, because you would just, what you would do is not start Von Miller if you signed him. Everything would just move up. So Jonathan Cooper, I don't know. He could miss some games, Mike. He could miss, again, we don't know how serious it is or not serious it is. We just don't know. But we kind of have to assume something's going on that's very negative. And then you would just move everybody up in the depth chart. Does that make sense then to call up Von Miller and get him to camp? Get him to at least training camp, maybe not OTAs and such, but just get him to Denver and have him on the roster as a backup plan. And then if this Jonathan Cooper thing does actually prove to be nothing, then you simply move on. You simply cut him. Which could very well happen, could have very well happened anyway if they brought him on in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a very competitive issue. Like the linebacking core, the most competitive on the Broncos, I think.
The outside linebacking core.
Yeah, I mean, might as well sign him and cut him.
I'd be calling him
if
today.
He doesn't make the 53.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a practice squatter. Someone's going to sign him.
I'd be calling him today. I mean, again, what's the worst that can happen? Because he's going to go on. You know, he's not going to cost you much. He's not on a team right now, Mike. So it'd be a fun story. Not sure that that does anything for you. But this is the other thing is, Mike, Von Miller or no Von Miller, this is a serious hit if Cooper is suspended. Because when would he be suspended? The first chunk of the season.
Yeah, nah, and you got a tough schedule there.
The most difficult part of the season. And the best part of your team is this defense, and he obviously is a monster part of that. So this is terrible news for the Broncos here. Just absolutely terrible. I mean, this is, like you said, this is the strength of your team. This is maybe your strongest unit is the outside linebacking core. The fact that you can't even really seriously talk about the idea of bringing Von Miller back because it's like, where would you put him? I just don't know how you get, you're in the middle of OTAs. I know it's not the season. I know it's not training camp, but this is the start. This is when guys are checking in, trying to get ready for what their season actually looks like. But here it is, yeah. Outside linebacker Jonathan Cooper was arrested late Thursday night and booked into the Douglas County Jail at 2:38 this morning. He's been held on suspicion of two counts of domestic violence and one count of criminal mischief. The incident reportedly occurred around 11 o'clock. The Broncos released a brief statement noting that they are aware of the matter and are gathering more information. Again, Cooper is scheduled to appear in court for a hearing. NBC Sports and 9 News will be on the developing story of this. You can't have it. You just can't have it. And if you're a team that we were talking about NBC Sports yesterday saying the Broncos are a front runner, you can't have one of your top players. I'm not saying Cooper's a leader, but he's one of their best players. Actually, I was thinking about this today, Mike, as we kind of round, as we get into June deeper and deeper, I want to create, you know, my top 10 list for this team. You go through your top 10 list for this team. Is Jonathan Cooper a top 10 player on this roster? I think a lot of people would have him there. I think he'd be close. You know, right off the bat, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but you got Patrick Surtain and Nick Benito and probably Bo Nix and Jaylen Waddle as your easy fours. But where does Cooper sit? No doubt he's one of the top 3 or 4 guys. I mean, you go Benito, you go Zach Allen. Well, obviously Patrick Surtain. Cooper's definitely a top 5 on the defense for this team. So, and that's your best position. That's your strength. Cooper, I think even Benito said, you know, having the combo of those two guys made his life a little bit easier. So this is not the news you wanted on a Friday morning. It is not a nothing burger. Now, obviously, if more investigation comes through and it's like, well, no, actually, it was a big misunderstanding. But two counts of domestic violence and criminal mischief, that seems like right off the bat, that's going to be more than a misunderstanding.
If you are a sports franchise, you have to assume the worst.
You do. Yeah,
you have to.
And that's why you probably call Von Miller. You know what they say with quarterbacks when you bring them in for camp? Camp arms. Well, you bring in just camp bodies, and maybe Vaughn turns back the hands of time and can give you a small percentage of what he used to be. And again, it would be a great story. I could see it being one of those things where you sign him, maybe even makes the team, but you barely see him. Maybe he comes up with some kind of big play in a random game. But this is devastating because much of the talk is just how difficult that schedule is going to be. If Jonathan Cooper is going to miss any games, it's going to be within, at very minimum, those first 3 games. Kansas City, Jacksonville, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle. Rams, Chargers, I should clarify. Those are your first 6. Very difficult. And if you're going into this without Jonathan Cooper for any of those games, we talked about how devastating it would be to start the season 2-4 in these first 6. That severely impacts your outlook if Jonathan Cooper is not on this roster to start the season, if he is suspended for any length of games. I mean, Mike, that could be, depending on what it is, that could be 2 to 6 to 8. Just how bad is it? We just don't know. But to wake up to that news, or not wake up to it, to hear it here mid-morning is very rough for the Broncos. So we'll get into, I guess, the less important stuff now is you know, talking about players sticking out. Sean Payton spoke a lot about Bo, about Jaylen Waddle. Cortland Sutton has some issues with fans, Michael, and media members calling out tight ends on this team. Not happy with people knocking that group. And I like that Sutton did it. I disagree with Sutton, though, but I'm glad he did it. The tight end group is one of your biggest weaknesses because Evan Engram wasn't the player we thought he was going to be. Was that a Sean Payton thing? Is that going to be different under Davis Webb? Maybe. But
I'm calling a lot of that on Sean Payton.
I think so.
I mean, he has like 5 different jokers. Like, just pick a joker.
That was a gimmick.
Or pick a system that everyone is joker.
I think it was a marketing ploy. The whole joker thing, just a gimmick, marketing thing, whatever. But, you know, here's the thing, Mike. How many times have we said, is that a Sean Payton thing?
Far too often.
They don't run the ball enough. Is that J.K. Dobbins? Is that not a good enough running back room? Or is it that he doesn't dedicate himself to running the ball? I saw a random tweet saying that, you know, if Greg Penner was running the Nuggets and the Avalanche, David Adelman and Jared Bednar would not have a job. That is the stupidest thing I've... And this is a what you call an insider, a person that works in the Denver market. If you're going by those standards, then Sean Payton wouldn't have a job. Because Mike, Sean Payton, first year with Russell Wilson, okay, that was an experimental year. They didn't make the playoffs. They make the playoffs the very next year with Bo Nix. They make the playoffs again and win a game. Sean had several, I mean, obviously that going for it on fourth down and you have a quarterback keeper drawn up instead of kicking a field goal in a game where the blizzard's getting ready to come in and you have Sean outwardly saying, we didn't know. We didn't know the weather was going to be that bad. That is a big time indictment against a head coach. So for those of you saying or even buying into what this person says, that if Greg Penner was running things for the Nuggets and the Avs, Jared Bednar would not be here.
That's bad.
That is just so ridiculous because those standards, because Bednar has done a lot more for the Avalanche than Sean Payton has done for the Broncos. I'll give you, he's only been there, what, this is going on his fourth year for Denver, but if you're saying those ridiculous standards that Greg Penner has, what? Since when did Greg? I get it. Greg Penner's learning. He hasn't been in the sports world for that long. So this idea that suddenly the Broncos now, and I know you're going to get pissy with me, Michael, but the Broncos have not been the most successful of the four in the state of Colorado for 10 years, even with their two playoff trips in the last 2 years. The Avs have won a cup. They're constantly out of the first round. The Nuggets have won a championship. For the most part, they're out of the first round. So this idea that Greg Penner is now the authority on all sports and he would be so strict and there's no way under his watch that Adelman and Bednar would still have a job, that is ridiculous because then by those standards, Sean Payton shouldn't have a job because Adelman's first year as a full-time head coach, they made it to the playoffs. Sean Payton's first year, they did not. So you miss me with that. You miss me with that.
Yeah, I agree for the most part. A lot of people want to move on from Bednar, and I understand that. But at this time, no, you would not want to move on from him. A lot of people want to move on from David Adelman. No, he had one year with the Nuggets as head coach. He had a bunch of injuries to a bunch of big name Nuggets players. And that quite possibly affected the playoffs.
We never really got to see the Nuggets plan take hold. And if you think that just, oh, well, they got healthy by the time the playoffs hit, save for Aaron Gordon and Peyton Watson, it takes time to build up chemistry. That's why, you know, in football, you know, the old cliche, you want to be playing your best football in November. Why is that? Because guys are clicking. Guys are figuring it out. In David Adelman's defense, we never really got to see this plan, the full plan of this deeper bench take place. And then by the time everybody started to get healthier, you still had Aaron Gordon, who was cleared to play, but not really, and then didn't play in several of those playoff games. And then Peyton Watson was out, who, whether you want to think he's a stud or not for the future, he was having a phenomenal year. And it was ended because of the injury.
I can make arguments for firing the Rockies coach, the Nuggets coach, the Avalanche coach. But none of those arguments stand out for the against. Like, the Rockies are getting better. Don't fire that coach. The Nuggets had reasons. They had injuries. David Adelman's a young head coach his first year. Don't fire him. Give him more of a chance. The Avalanche, they too had injuries.
And Cale Makar, even when he was cleared to play, wasn't the same Cale Makar that we saw all season.
No, he wasn't. His shoulder was hurting. If those injuries hadn't have happened, I think it goes seven games.
Yeah. Like, we act like, oh, don't make excuses. Well, Mike, sometimes you have to acknowledge those excuses. And that's where, like, I get Josh Kroenke with the Nuggets end of year presser was like, you know, hey, part of me thinks we could make a bunch of moves and change the fabric of this team. The other part of me thinks, man, we didn't actually get, we didn't get to see this full thing, so we could very well run it back. You're not, I mean, yes, there are bad examples of people making excuses, but sometimes the excuses are legitimate, and you have to use those to make educated decisions on what to do with your coaching staff and or players going on, going down the future.
I mean, that's my argument against firing some of the last recent coaches that the Broncos have had. I mean, Vance Joseph, and he made some mistakes as head coach, but also he did not have a full roster. Like that, firing him, I understand why. I just think if you're hurt, if a lot of your players are hurt, does that reflect on the coach or does that reflect on the training? Or is it just bad luck? And you have to be a coach. You have to do what you can with what you have. And the Broncos didn't have those. An injury is a good excuse. If you have a lot of players out, that's a good excuse.
It is. And you could say, well, everybody deals with injuries. I know. And I know. Sometimes teams overcome those, and sometimes they don't. That's why I always say, like, when you say next man up, I get it. I get it. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. There's a reason that guy is the starter and the other guy is a backup. There's a reason for that. Now, sometimes that backup comes in and takes advantage of his situation and really goes. That's not really on a coach. I mean, yeah, putting him in the right spots and all that. But like Peyton Watson, for example, all these guys are getting hurt. That was his time to shine. The guy played himself into a monster contract. He took advantage of it. That doesn't happen every year. We don't see that always. So this idea, I'm sorry, that the Broncos are now the authority on how to run an organization, this is still very new. And last I checked, we're only in year three after a big, colossal failure with the Russell Wilson stuff, with the Nathaniel Hackett stuff. So this, forgive me, Mike. But who was in charge? Who was George Payton's boss when the Broncos hired Nathaniel Hackett? I believe it was Greg Penner. So this, oh no, with Greg Penner, that wouldn't fly. They hired Nathaniel Hackett, a guy who wasn't actually a very good offensive coordinator. And then he was good because he was with Aaron Rodgers. He was bad when he was with Jacksonville. And then he goes with the Packers, and he and Rodgers have a great rapport, and that's enough to hire him. Greg Penner signed off on that. So you miss me with this whole idea that, no, Greg Penner, yes, they've done amazing things. They've done amazing things so far. But do not pretend that if we're looking at the past 10 years, who the authority is as far as championships and clout and success, it's either the Avalanche or the Nuggets, and it's probably the Avalanche.
Yeah, I'd say Greg Penner is getting the best out of what he has. He has some good tools. He's getting the best out of those tools. So you can't give him all the credit. He gets a lot of the credit, but he's not getting all the credit.
And they also, and again, great year last year. And I know you don't want to hear this, but they did take advantage of a weak schedule. They did. You can only play the teams that are in front of you, and that's what the Broncos did, and they won most of those games. Some of those games didn't feel like they were going to win, but they found a way to do it in the fourth, and you can't take that away from them. But you also use that and say, it's not like we're talking about the Broncos being a juggernaut here. All right, we got a lot to get to. Short time to do it, Michael. 29 minutes after the hour. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we review, I believe we're bringing in Tanner Schwint with Good Morning NoCo. The dude down the hall, I think, is going to join us. You did watch the movie, is that correct?
Yeah, I was accused of not watching the movie, but I have proof that I did watch the movie.
You actually watched the movie.
I paid
$4
for it.
Blues is what we're reviewing today at 1 o'clock. You know my favorite part about doing these reviews? Is you rediscover movies that you thought were either the best thing ever or maybe you thought they were bad back in the day, but you actually kind of grow to like them. How does Varsity Blues hold up? We'll find out coming up at 1 o'clock today. Is it a starter? Is it a bencher? Or are you cutting it? 30 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The beards are growing. Rockies win 30. Track the Dirty 30 with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head.
Three minutes after the hour, Big City Roadhouse. Great suggestion for you. It is 11:33, Michael. Lunchtime is basically now. Or you could stop by. You can still get a breakfast burrito if you get over there in the next half hour at Big City Roadhouse.
You have 27 minutes.
It's so good, man. I mean, you guys got to try this place out. You got trust me. Go to Big City Roadhouse. Take advantage of all the TVs that they have. You can watch all the big games that you want. So a little birdie tells me, coming up on July 3rd, Tanner Schwent and I are up to another challenge. Hot dog eating contest. It's officially going to happen.
I will not be there. I do not want to see one of you vomit.
We want challengers, though. Hooligans? Who wants in on this? I want to make this a fun, it's going to be July 3rd, Friday before, you know, Independence Day. Let's go out to Big City Roadhouse and watch Tanner and I compete yet again, but this time I'm not going to be running.
I feel like we need an athlete. We need an athlete, like a really athletic person there.
What are you saying? I'm not an athlete. I'm athletic.
You're like 40.
Not yet. I could still move around.
You have a few days.
I could still move around a little bit, but no, I'm probably not classified as an athlete. Yeah.
We need an actual athlete to show up. You know, someone who eats a lot of carbs and whatever is in a hot dog.
Faith, can we get Miles out there?
Yeah.
Let's get Miles out there for the hot dog eating contest.
Let's do it.
We're working through it right now. I know we got a couple of people interested. If you guys want to, this is going to be so much fun. And listen, there's no pressure. If you get through one hot dog and you're like, yeah, no, I can't do it, that's okay. Because that'll be how Tanner is.
Because if it's free, I will have a hot dog.
Well, no, you got to be a part of the hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, I don't eat a lot. I have a big belly, but I don't have a big stomach.
Yeah, we're working on it. I think the winner gets like a pretty significant. We don't. Like if I win, obviously I will. We don't get like the gift card, but there's going to be like a significant gift card Big City Roadhouse is going to put out there.
So if you come in first, which you will.
Yeah, I will.
And Tanner comes in second,
which he might. Well, he might.
And third, a listener.
Yeah.
Comes in, they would get the Big City Roadhouse.
Yes, they would. Obviously, I'm winning this thing. Tanner's already scared again, just like the race. He's already like, oh, no, I can't do it. My tum-tum. Oh,
he has seven different, like, eating contests.
Yeah. And he fails at those, too. And this is just another thing he's going to fail at, and he's terrified to do it. Because I would be up 5-0 in station competitions against Tanner. Probably 7-0.
Yeah, he admitted off the air to whine reviewer Brady that he was afraid of Brady Hull.
My knowledge is it scares people.
It's a period.
Faith, he loves him some carbs, but he's got to manage them a little bit differently. Yeah, maybe Miles couldn't do it. I don't know. I mean, because even a bad, like, these are finely tuned athletes, Michael. So I don't know if even one gigantic cheat day would be a good idea. I don't even know if Ed would allow us to do it.
Oh, how about Ed Lamb?
He's not going to do that. But he might come out, hang out, support us. Yeah, it'd be fun.
Keith Smiley?
He's not going to do that either. No. Dude, even though they're coaches, they're still, like, in ridiculous shape. Because they got access to the gyms and all that stuff there, man. They're working out with their teams.
Yeah, even if I had access to the gym, I would still be fat.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Because you would not take advantage of that access. Big City Roadhouse. Big City flavor, Roadhouse comfort. Dude, I'm telling you. They always do fun stuff, man. They're always giving TVs away. Stop by. Do me a favor and stop by Big City Roadhouse and tell them that we sent you here from the whole show. It would mean a lot to us. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Fascinating conversation this morning with Ed Lamb on Football 52, Michael. We're now recording it on Fridays during June month, maybe July too.
Available at noon.
Available at noon, so here pretty soon. Ed respects Nick Saban, but he was not really enjoying the fact that it's Nick Saban speaking. It's actually a lot of what you and I talked about yesterday, of just getting more coaches that are not really a part of the Power Four or were a part of the Power Four, getting them on to talk about what's going on. We need to hear from more coaches that are they're dealing with. Like, the SEC and the Big Ten are just pissed because, well, we got to come up with even more money. We've already got a lot of money, but that school has more money than us. And now we got to get over them. And Texas Tech's throwing money out at every place. And now Texas Tech is getting pissy because other schools are starting to throw money and get billionaires involved, like Indiana with Mark Cuban. What we need to hear from is honestly like the Pac-12 teams. We need to hear from those tweener teams. We need to hear from the Sun Belt.
Even an FCS.
Even an FCS, yeah.
I mean, and not just the ADs. You have to have like coaches, like of football and basketball and gymnastics and all these other sports. Talk about it. Like, you have to get so you can't just like.
Well, that's why
in 5 days we're gonna pass it.
I liked Teresa Gould, the commissioner of the Pac-12, speaking, but let's face it, she's pissed about the conferences being able to do whatever the hell they want, even though her conference did whatever the hell they wanted by poaching everyone from the Mountain West. But she's pissed because teams left the Pac-12 in droves.
Pissed about it, too.
It sucked. She has a right to be pissed, but she also did the exact same thing that she's pissed about. She says, hey, Mountain West comes in and goes, hey, we'll do a scheduling partnership with you. Okay, but don't steal our teams, okay? It's gonna be in writing. Don't do it. All right, I know you won't. I trust you. And then Teresa Gould comes in, and that's exactly what the Pac-12 does. For you not to be able to predict that is crazy, because we knew that was going to happen. Or they were going to merge. Thought 50-50.
I thought they should merge. Merging would be better. They'd be another super conference, only super
wouldn't
not
be
very
a
good.
Super conference. Yeah, it wouldn't be a super conference, I don't think.
It wouldn't be like a Superman or a Batman conference. It would be more like the Green Lantern.
Like Aquaman, kind of like you.
Oh, well, I'm going to say thank you because I am buff and handsome like the actor who played Aquaman.
No, you're useful but not here, you know?
Somewhere. He has a big trident.
Somewhere you're useful, I'm sure. I'm sure we could find a way for you to be useful, but there's no oceans here, so we don't need you.
Also, I would drown.
Yeah. Well, if you were Aquaman, you wouldn't. 40 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
All right, so we know that Bo Nix was at OTAs yesterday. He wasn't actually practicing or anything like that. He wasn't in a walking boot or anything, you know, that extreme. Sean Payton did have a few things to say about the plan for Bo and what he ultimately sees happening for his quarterback in the next few weeks.
Good. It's kind of what I told you. I think we'll see him in that role here. I mean, he's been – you don't see the pre-practice, but he's been throwing – and I do think in our third week, when you guys are out here for three straight days, I think you'll see more of a role.
There you go. There you go.
But Brady, there's tension in his ankle.
Well, there might be tension still, but sounds like everything's fine. Like, why delay it? You know, why lie? Why fake us out? Why say he's fine when he's not fine? Because you got a lot of media members that are, oh, no, wow, no, I don't know about this. It's just stretching out further and further. there's no need to throw him out there in OTAs if you don't have to just yet. So, I could look silly at the end of all this come August, Mike. I could. But I don't think this is that big. If they're telling us, if Sean continues to tell us this, then I'm not doing the whole, like, trust the organization thing. But tell me, why would Sean Payton tell us that he's fine if he's not? I'm asking. What is there to gain by Sean saying, yeah, you know what? It's a little more serious than we thought. There's nothing in it for him to do that. In fact, if he wanted to paint the picture as like, yeah, no, this is a lot more worrisome than we thought, then they might hesitate to re-sign him to a long-term contract. And if Sean Payton's truly worried about the ankle, then he wouldn't want that going forward. And they'd probably have to start thinking about new quarterback plans in 2 years.
You know, if Sean was a deceptive person, he wouldn't have gone to the media a half hour after the AFC divisional round where they beat the Bills and say, hey, by the way, we just lost our quarterback.
Yeah.
He would have let it.
He could have let that go for 24 hours and then just let the news hit, but he wanted to address it personally. Listen, you can say a lot about Sean Payton and what's happened in his career, all the stuff that happened when he was the head coach of the Saints. Not like it's always been the most above board stuff happening, but I'm just failing to see why he would try to cover this up. I mean, we're going to know. It's going to make him look worse if he can't go in training camp and it's, oh, Sean lied to everyone. It was much worse than he thought. I think he's going to be all right. I don't think it's something that we need to be overly concerned with. Here's the one I am not overly concerned with, but certainly worried about. But Sean Payton talking about J.K. Dobbins and just how impactful he is to this team. That's the one I worry about being able to play a full season or at least close to that. Here's Sean on J.K.
I think if you just take backs around the leg and you understand the length, you know, the season is not getting any shorter, it's getting longer. He was a big part of our success a year ago. And I think certainly where we're at with that running back group today, we feel like is further along than maybe when we first got here. So he's one of those compound multipliers. There's so much that he brings that, you know, you usually hear him before you see him in there, probably sometimes out here. He's a tremendous teammate, and yeah, I'm glad he's with us.
I'll be curious to see if you can really get the step up from R.J. Harvey and then your guy, Jonah Coleman. Like, that's going to be, I think it's going to be pretty significant for J.K. Dobbins to be able to have them shoulder a lot of that load if you want him to be ready by the playoffs.
If Jonah Coleman performs very well in preseason and in camp, I think he's got a guaranteed third down.
Is there any thought in your mind that goes to kind of what we see in baseball or basketball where guys probably could go, but it's iffy, so let's just give them the night off? Do you think there's any chance that after like week 4 or 5, after you get through that juggernaut of a schedule, the first 6, is there any thought of saying, we're going to not play J.K. Dobbins for a game, or we give him like 7 carries?
I was shaking my head because I thought you were talking about Bo Nix, but
no.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins, absolutely. The running back is not
like,
nearly
shut
as
him
important
down.
As the quarterback.
Like, what if you shut him down against Arizona? Like, you have him for the first 6 games, and then you say, hey, we're going to give you a break and don't play you at all. Again, you just decrease the workload. You decrease the chances of him getting hurt.
Or you can have Sean Payton call the plays and he'll forget that the run game exists.
Well, Sean Payton's not calling the plays, Mike. It's going to be Davis Webb. And Sean,
I know, but
some...
if you're going to do that in game 4, you might as well, you know.
Sean had thoughts on that, too, so we'll get into that a little bit later on. Coming up, we'll have some fun in the 1 o'clock hour as we continue on with Brady and Michael review sports movies throughout the summer months because there's not as much sports going on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA. Varsity Blues. Start it, bench it, or cut it. Where are you going with that movie? Is it a classic? Is it a classic sports movie? All things we're going to discuss a little bit later on in the show. It's The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
Want a free gift for Dad this Father's Day? Make sure he subscribes to the best podcasts in the state. Find KFK Podcasts at Apple, Spotify, or 1310KFK.com. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up in the second hour of the show, Mike, we'll get to top stories of the day. Sorry, Faith, but the Bears are edging closer to a big move for a new stadium in Northwest Indiana. So we'll get to that story coming up. Baker Mayfield contract talks. Last night's game between Carolina and Las Vegas. Man, Braden McNabb took a puck to the face, and that looked really bad. So we'll get into top stories of the day. More Broncos talk coming up for you a little bit later on. And then at 1 o'clock, we step aside and we continue on with our movie review extravaganza as we review Varsity Blues. Mixed reviews coming from the Hooligans on some of the comments there. So, yeah, it's an interesting movie to unpack, and we'll do it later on in the show. Yes.
So if the fans don't like what we have to say, will we get a bunch of Varsity boos?
Top story of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.